Antonio Delgado is running for Congress in the 19th district, and he's hoping to unseat first-term Congressman John Faso, the Republican. Antonio, I guess this is what we call the lightning round. I'm going to give you a minute on each subject, and then we can take a few seconds more, but we got to get through it all. Okay, ready?
Yes.
Okay, healthcare, universal coverage.
Yes, healthcare is a state of crisis right now, our healthcare system. I literally have heard heart-wrenching stories. A man literally who told me he was going to stop his dialysis because his family would go bankrupt if he were to continue it. He was resigned to that fact, prepared to die. Meanwhile, we have a congressman in John Faso who literally votes to take health care away from people. It is a shame that we're the only developed country in the world without some form of universal health care. In my estimation, that is immoral. We've got to work hard to take the profit motive out of our system. And I think a concrete bipartisan step that we can take in the immediate future is to create a public option, allow anybody who wants to opt into Medicare to do so. This allows folks who want to keep their health care to keep it, but also allows folks who are looking for better alternatives, cheaper alternatives, the choice to opt in. That drives down premiums, it drives down deductibles. And then second, we've got to make sure that Medicare can negotiate drug prices with Big Pharma. We do those two things, create a public option, and make sure that Medicare can negotiate drug prices with Big Pharma, we make a transformative step in the right direction that can change people's lives.
Education, how are we doing?
Not well. We're not prioritizing it as a country. As I said, you know, we are no longer prioritizing and emphasizing, whether it's through investment in universal pre-K, whether it's no longer or getting beyond teaching to the test, whether it's making sure that we invest in vocational schools and trade schools, apprenticeship programs. We're not talking enough about debt-free tuition. We're challenging our children to make do an ever more competitive environment when they need not have to. We need to give them the tools that they need to succeed. And that starts from the ground up. That starts with real investment in empowering our teachers, empowering our schools to provide them with the funding that they need and resources that they need to really educate fully determined, self-determined individuals who can go out in the world and engage and be responsible. Very important.
Charter schools?
Charter schools, yes. No, we've got to have a moratorium on those. There's a trend right now in our system that is privatizing everything that is meant to be a public good, whether it's healthcare, whether it's education, you name it, Social Security. There's this trend that's about privatizing everything. At the end of the day, the government is meant to promote the general welfare. There is a role for it to play, a responsible role. And in doing so, we have got to get away from this effort to privatize everything and anything at the expense of the vast majority of working folk all across this district and this country.
The environment.
You know, it's important to first and foremost understand that climate change is real. It is a real crisis, and we have a moral imperative to fix it. But beyond that, we have got to get off our addiction to fossil fuel. We are doing nothing, it appears to me, to wean ourselves off of that addiction. Instead, we are pumping in billions and billions of dollars into the fossil fuel industry to the tune, that allows them to continue to invest and grow at the expense of investment in the renewable energy space. We can take those tax credits and those tax subsidies that we provide to the fossil fuel industry and shift them over to the renewable energy space and invest in solar, wind, geothermal, all those areas we're seeing significant economic growth. That's real job creation, and we could protect our environment. I might add, we have in John Faso a former lobbyist for the oil pipeline company. I might add, we have a guy in John Faso who voted to repeal the stream protection rule on one of the first votes of his career as a congressman. So he is not a friend to the environment, and we must be clear about that fact.
DACA and immigration.
Yes, I want to speak a little bit about, because I heard you talk to Mr. Faso about family separation. I thought he was real weak on this one. You know, the fact that he would argue that, well, Trump was kind of right because of the legal framework and our hands are kind of tied here. No. This is a time where you need to display real leadership and moral courage and speak truth to power and say he's dead wrong for separating children from their families. Full stop, period. We can work out the legal framework thereafter, but that was not the time to waffle. So we got to take real issue with that. Similarly, on the question of DACA, young men and women who've been here for the vast majority of their lives, who are Americans except on paper, They have got to be brought into the fold. We need a clean DACA bill. They're serving in our military. They're on the front lines. They're teaching our children. They're emergency service workers. It's a no-brainer here. And then on the question, generally speaking, about immigration, we are certainly a nation of laws, and we must respect those laws. But we are also a nation of immigrants, and we must provide a real path to citizenship that is clear, that it makes it understood by all how to actually achieve it. And if you've broken the law and if you've done so and committed violent acts, that is a problem. Right. And you can't cut that line. You must go back home. But there's a process here that we have to unfold and be clear about it in a bipartisan way. We can do that.
Roe versus Wade.
Yes. I'm fully 100% pro-choice and believe more generally that we've got to stand to fight for women's reproductive rights, for women's equality in general. Make no mistake about it. We have someone in John Faso who's on the wrong side of this issue. He voted a number of times while in the state assembly, no for equal pay for equal work. He called Roe v. Wade a black mark on the country. He's also defunded, or at least attempted to defund, Planned Parenthood after promising the community he would not. You know, John Faso has made the false accusation, very false accusation, that when I was doing music, I denigrated women. Couldn't be further from the truth. Nothing about my music ever did so. It was all about empowering women. So I take real issue with him playing with those kind of words, particularly when you look at his track record and you see what he's done in plain sight that undermines women's reproductive rights, that undermines women's equality. He's outdated when it comes to this point of view, and he's of the past.
Guns.
As a congressman, it is every bit of my obligation to protect the rights of all my constituents. The Second Amendment is a right that I will certainly protect. But that does not change the fact that we are living in the midst of a gun violence epidemic. When you have kids dying, 7-8 kids dying a day, you know, 17, 18 kids being hospitalized a day from gun violence, women 5 times more likely to die when a gun is involved in a domestic violence dispute, and all these, you know, tragic school shootings that break my heart, we've got to do something here. What we hear from John Faso is tell those young people who have the courage to walk out, he tells them, you're wasting valuable study time. That's his response. Or from John Faso, we get somebody who votes for a bill that essentially allows folks who are convicted stalkers and domestic violence abusers to walk into our state with a concealed carry permit and arm. That is a problem. You know, the fact of the matter is we have a broken system on this. When the bump stock, 97% of folks want to ban the bump stock, 97%, right? And we can't get a piece of legislation on the floor. It's because our system is non-responsive to the needs, and it's being mucked up by special interest groups, not the dues-paying members of the NRA, but the gun manufacturers who vastly are the ones who are funding the misinformation campaign that is ongoing. So banning bump stocks, making sure we have state storage laws, universal background checks, all these things that we can be doing where there is broad consensus, and we're not doing them.
Mueller.
The question of Mueller is a very important one. You know, we talk a lot about putting our country first. Well, this is where we do it. Right. We don't politicize something like this. We're under attack right now. Right. There's no way around it. We were attacked and we're still under attack. So the fact is, we've got to step up and not politicize this issue. As I've said repeatedly, we need to pass bipartisan legislation that protects Mueller. Now, John Faso will sit here and tell you he thinks the investigation is important. I haven't heard him say a peep, though, about protecting Mueller with a bipartisan piece of legislation. Instead, I hear him say he understands the impatience people have with the length of an investigation that has produced over 30 some odd indictments, a number of guilty pleas, and cooperating witnesses, a very fruitful investigation. You can't have it both ways. So what could we be doing? Increasing sanctions on Russia, funding our electoral infrastructure system, something that John Faso has refused to do at this point. We also could be making sure that we protect Bob Mueller, as I noted. We do these things. We protect our democracy. And lastly, I want to make a point. We have to remember that Congress is a co-equal branch of government here. Okay, it has an obligation to push back, rightfully so, justifiably so, against an administration that doesn't seem to be willing to accept the fact that it won in part because of Russian meddling.
So how important is it to flip the House?
Critically important. And this goes back to the question about co-equal branches of government. We have an administration here, as I noted before, that is acting in a way that is inconsistent with our values. And it's a threat domestically. You know, we have an administration that does not seem willing to engage the threat that we're facing from an adversary in Russia. We have an administration that doesn't seem willing to cooperate in a way that allows us to get to the bottom of what has happened with Russia. And we have in Congress currently a Republican-controlled House that is complicit in all of this and has showed no willingness, no desire to step up and fulfill its obligations under the Constitution as a co-equal branch of government. So, yes, you better believe it is critically important that we flip the House for the future of this country, and we certainly must flip this seat for the future of right here at home.
It's great to have Democratic candidate Antonio Delgado of New York's 19th District with us. Antonio, I've been waiting for this meeting for quite a while now. I congratulate you on all of your accomplishments up to now, and we hope to have you back a good deal.
No, I hope to be back as well a good deal. This is really a good time, and really respect what you do. You got a long track record, sir, so it's good to be here with you. Like I said, I grew up listening to you, so it's an honor.